If you turn to this podcast to hear about some more grubby-fisted aldermen and grubby-handed political bosses, today we're taking a break because, you know, I'm all about the science, and so this podcast is about a dangerous virus facing everybody, the woke virus, and about those problematic statues of our greatest president, Abraham Lincoln, which are now under review by Mayor Lori Lightfoot's Woke Committee on Problematic Statuary. She should never have let it get this far, to where Lincoln is under review in the land of Lincoln. But she did, because although the mayor of Chicago is a woman of the left, she's also worried about the woke virus, and that threatens to devour her left flank. And today we'll discuss it all with our guest, who'll gladly take the Lincoln statues off Chicago's hands. He's David Gerlach, president of Lincoln College in Central Illinois. He honors Lincoln and would give him a place of honor at the racially diverse college that he runs. But before we begin, just think about the woke virus that causes the cancel culture, and think about other religious zealots like the Taliban destroying ancient Buddhist art, like the early Christian zealots burning classical libraries, destroying pagan temples and pagan statues, destroying history. And remember this, who controls the past controls the future, and who controls the present controls the past. That's what all this statue toppling is about. That's what the cancel culture and the woke virus is about. George Orwell, writing in 1984, knew what it was about. The quote that I just read about who controls the future controls the past was written by him. Orwell was a socialist. He understood firsthand what the left was about. Canceling history, rebuilding it to first close and then process the American mind. And so what is Amazon, one of the largest companies in the world, doing canceling Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas? Jason Riley, columnist of the Wall Street Journal, who I hope to have a guest here someday, wrote an important column the other day in the journal about Amazon canceling Thomas. It's that documentary, Clarence Thomas in His Own Words, that was taken off Amazon Prime's streaming service during Black History Month. Clarence Thomas, a black Supreme Court Associate Justice, canceled in Black History Month? I think I realize why Thomas was canceled. You can find it in a great clip in the movie, and we have it for you here.
Committee will please come to order. Judge, it's a tough day and tough night for you, I know. Let me ask, do you have anything you'd like to say before we begin? I understand that your preference is, which is totally and completely understandable, that we go 1 hour tonight, 30 minutes on each side. Am I correct in that?
That's right.
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Senator, I would like to start by saying unequivocally, uncategorically, that I deny each and every single allegation against me today that suggested in any way that I had conversations of a sexual nature or about pornographic material with Anita Hill, that I ever attempted to date her, that I ever had any personal sexual interest in her, or that I in any way ever harassed her. A second, and I think more important point, I think that this today is a travesty. I think that it is disgusting. I think that this hearing should never occur in America. This is a case in which this sleaze, this dirt, was searched for by staffers of members of this committee, was then leaked to the media, And this committee and this body validated it and displayed it at prime time over our entire nation. How would any member on this committee, any person in this room, or any person in this country would like sleaze said about him or her in this fashion, or this dirt dredged up in this gossip and these lies displayed in this manner? How would any person like it? The Supreme Court is not worth it. No job is worth it. I'm not here for that. I'm here for my name, my family, my life, and my integrity. I think something is dreadfully wrong with this country when any person in this free country would be subjected to this. This is not a closed room. There was an FBI investigation. This is not an opportunity to talk about difficult matters privately or in a closed environment. This is a circus. It's a national disgrace. And from my standpoint, as a black American, as far as I'm concerned, it is a high-tech lynching for uppity blacks who in any way deign to think for themselves, to do for themselves, to have different ideas. And it is a message that unless you kowtow to an old order, this is what will happen to you. You will be lynched, destroyed, caricatured by a committee of the U.S. Senate rather than hung from a tree.
It was Justice Thomas, then Judge Thomas, angrily confronting then Senator Joseph Biden of Delaware, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, who orchestrated a smearing of Thomas's name, determined to ruin his name and reputation rather than allow a black conservative on the court, because there's nothing more frightening to the white liberal left than a black conservative. And they pushed and leaked with their allies in the media the story of Anita Hill, who said Thomas made sexual advances, and Thomas adamantly denied it, and then drove a stake through their hearts, through the Democratic hearts, through Biden, with this. And I guess it just won't do for Americans to be reminded of what their president had done to Thomas. Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon, is part of that big tech group that wants Biden and the Democrats in power to protect them, so they can continue to close American minds with a profit. Now, some of you certainly welcome cancel culture and those Zoom racial re-education camps that K through 8 teachers and high school teachers must attend. And you sing the praises of it all, because to some of you, the woke virus is a cleansing virus. It will erase obnoxiousness and, in their minds, will erase racist thought. And I suppose, like those priests who led the Spanish Inquisition centuries ago, it gives somebody a sense of triumph and power to fit the rat cage over a dissident's face in 1984 or in 2021. But others like me see it as mass hysteria, forced control, and dangerous balkanization in America. My friend and co-host Jeff Carlin is here as always. Jeff is executive producer at WGN Radio, a thoughtful man and the best radio producer around. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, columnist at the Chicago Tribune, member of its editorial board. Oh, yeah, and Chicago Fire fan and White Sox fan and a barbecuer and a former gardener with a backyard full of cement, and soon to be fishermen again on a river up north. And you, wondering, what is this all about with Lincoln and wokeness and the woke virus and whether there'll be a cure for the woke virus. You're on the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
I told you that Lori Lightfoot is considering getting rid of statues of Abraham Lincoln, along with Leif Erikson, President McKinley, Ulysses S. Grant. And our next guest, David Gerlach, Dr. David Gerlach from Lincoln College in Lincoln, Illinois, just a few miles away from Springfield, has a message for her. And rather than me say it, I'd like Dr. Gerlach to deliver the message to the mayor and to his woke and to her woke committee of the Ministry of Truth that wants to get rid of the statues. So what is your message, Doctor?
Well, John and Jeff, thank you for having me. Appreciate the opportunity. Never knew that a tweet would get me on such an esteemed podcast. You know, the Lincoln College was founded on Lincoln's last living birthday, February 12th, 1865, by his business associates who hired him for the railroad. He laid out this town. They ultimately named it for him. He dedicated the city of Lincoln August 27th, 1853. And we have operated for 166 years. I'm sitting in the original building founded for Lincoln University. And between my car, 10 feet away as the bird flies, and my desk are 22 Lincolns, pictures and statues in my office, in the hallway of this esteemed university hall. And on my campus are some amazing statues. There's a statue by our library that was 1961, a very famous statue, Lincoln the Student. And over by my amazing athletic facility is a standing Lincoln walking, holding a textbook, reading. And it is the most pictured with my graduates because he's full size. He stands next to you, and it's an amazing thing. And so Lincoln, was he perfect? No. Later, I can quote a few things from my esteemed professor, Ron Keller, who's written a few books on Lincoln. Was he perfect? No. But in the pantheon of civil rights leaders in our country who have done things to move the needle, who has done more than Lincoln? I would dare say he certainly is in the top 10 of the civil rights leaders. I would personally say top, but minimally in the top three of things accomplished. He paid ultimately the greatest sacrifice of his life. And as a campus that has been around a long, long time, and today we serve a very diverse student population. 50% of my students come out of the Chicagoland area. Many of my students come out of the west and south sides of Chicago, a predominantly Black institution. There is a great sense of pride being affiliated to the Lincoln name. It's an amazing thing being at a basketball game, having the students shout, "Lincoln, Lincoln, Lincoln." And so I think it's apropos. It's a shame that in the state named for monikered for Lincoln, that this is even being discussed.
I understand that you have an offer for those if Lori Lightfoot and her woke committee on statues thinks Lincoln is inappropriate. They already listed him. They listed the statues among 44 as problematic. Lincoln is problematic, which is the first step towards erasure. What is your offer to the city of Chicago?
Well, you know, the five statues of Lincoln, the standing Lincoln, the seated Lincoln, the young Lincoln, Lincoln, and Lincoln Rail Splitter, I'll send my maintenance team up and we'll find the money to carefully transport them, and I will plant them on this campus. I'll gladly take them. You know, was Lincoln perfect? No. On my campus, I have what has been rated the top five museums on college campuses. All of my students participate in freshman seminar. They go through this museum. It's an amazing recasting of Lincoln's experience, particularly here in central Illinois. And on the campus, we have the Abraham Lincoln Center for Character Development. Lincoln is appreciated, I think, not just for what he did for civil rights, but for his character and honesty, integrity, humility, civility, courage, perseverance, and personal responsibility. Those are things that we should all aspire to. And I won't speak for the other statues that they're talking about. I do think it's important to review. But Lincoln, that makes no sense to me. So I'll come and get all five of those statues. I'll find a way to afford to get them down here, and I would love to have them on my campus.
Where would you put them? Like in the quad outside, in a hall? Where would you put them?
Well, the first statue is in front of our library that sits the. I mean, there are so many statues and busts of Lincoln throughout the campus, but I think having my students become exposed to this individual who sacrificed everything, who held the Union together, who, yes, there was some early controversial things that Lincoln may have said, but for his day, a phenomenal leader. My father, I was talking to my 90-year-old dad, and my dad said, you know, it's very difficult for any of us to compare, say, let's have Muhammad Ali versus Joe Louis. My dad's timing of Muhammad Ali, but the point being to hold people to today's standard, I still think Lincoln would hold up to today's standard. However, to hold them to today's standard is a really unfair proposition. So I would place them in spots that students would reflect upon. I had an alum reach out to me because one of the statues, I'm not sure it's an exact attribution that Lincoln said, but I will prepare myself for one day my opportunity will come, or something to that effect. And that so inspired her every day. When the Paris attack occurred, my student body, we had 250 students surrounding the seated Lincoln in front of the library. That's where they chose to hold this ceremony honoring those who were killed. Statues are important. They're gathering places. So I would place them around this beautiful campus in a manner that would give students an opportunity to reflect on their own growth and their own transitions.
What does it say about us? And this is to both of you, you and Dr. Gerlach, president of Lincoln University. Do I have it right? University, I believe.
We're going to head back to our chartered name, but we're Lincoln College at this point, but we're going to head back to Lincoln University in not too long of a time frame.
Okay, so to both of you gentlemen, what does it say about us when we talk about destroying, or perhaps not even in honest mob rage, but through committees and secretive committees that are violating the Open Meetings Act, as David Jackson of the Better Government Association has written? What does it say about us that we would topple such a thing as a Lincoln statue, even consider it in the land of Lincoln? Are we like the Taliban now? Are we like the zealot, insane early Christians? And, you know, they're probably Greek Orthodox, so maybe related to me somehow, who destroyed antiquity, temples, and statues in religious zealotry? What is that's what I think it is, but I'd like your take on it, both of you.
I find it, you know, the discussion, the monument site that I looked at, having discussions is one thing, but as we saw, the mob takes over rather quickly and things spin out of control awfully fast. And it, to me, the discussion of Lincoln here in Illinois is, it befuddles me. It angers me. It's shocking to me. Jeff, your reaction?
John, the parallel there is pretty stark, and you're right. I mean, you and I have talked about this in the past, that we've, you know, foreseen that cultures collapse. There's this idea that, you know, that the moral center of someone is their own choosing or whatever. And we see it spreading out, and a lot of institutions are collapsing around us. The Justice Department had its woes. We've had problems with all sorts of groups here. So we've come to this point where, yeah, I think we're seeing the kind of the friction forming of a collapse of a culture and a society where people are taking information and running with it in a dangerous way. And it's only going to probably get worse, maybe not in the sense of more statues or things being torn down, but other things being undermined and if not just destroyed.
Well, I'm not trying to be overly political here, but the hard left is represented by Black Lives Matter is clear in its aim, stated on its literature, that it's about dismantling or deconstructing the nuclear family. And in large part, I think, like the ancient Christians, like the Taliban of today, the zealots are interested in deconstructing our history. As George Orwell said, he who controls the present controls the past, and who controls the past controls the future. And so it's about deconstructing what we hold dear, part of the threads of the nation that bind a very diverse and often, you know, conflicted nation, and an important nation, the most important in history. And it's about basically eliminating history so they can build something up. You know, I don't know where they would get the statues from, Gorky Park or somewhere. I really don't know. But somewhere where their ideals would be reflected, to replace our old virtues and our old ideas and install something that they like. And I find it to be that more and more people are not upset with what is even being considered here is astounding to me, Doctor. I, I, I'm astounded that the people of Illinois are not up in arms. Like, they don't think it could ever happen, so they just, I don't know, they're mute, or perhaps they're afraid to discuss it in rational terms for fear of being shamed by the mob on social media. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, that fear is clear, and I've witnessed numerous individuals attempted or to actually have been quote unquote canceled as a result of speaking out. I would say, though, there is a piece of our history that was written by a certain angle, the whole lost cause narrative of reframing the Civil War from a Southern perspective is something that should be critically looked at. And many of our memorials in our country came up around the turn of the century, 1900s, and it was an attempt to reposition the Civil War from a different perspective. And so I'm not afraid of the conversation. I'm not afraid of looking into, but keeping in perspective that day, that timing, the history of where we're at then versus now. And so I won't defend the list of all of the statues. I won't comment on them. Ultimately,
not even on the Vikings. What did Leif Erikson?
I saw your comment, John, and I thought it was a great comment. And ultimately, I think our society does have to reflect and learn. And I find many individuals just don't have a concept of history or aren't even curious into digging into that history.
You mentioned that Lincoln is not a perfect man, or was not a perfect man, but I think there was only one perfect man.
Yep.
And that was 2000 years ago.
I would agree.
And now I think, okay, so let's see what he did, what he accomplished. He emancipated the slaves. He fought the Civil War. He broke the slave state of the South in a way that was like Epaminondas of Thebes going down into Sparta to break that slave state. It was an immense decision, monumental decision, and one that changed the nation forever. And still I hear commentary on, actually, Jeff, I heard it on WGN. John Williams had a guest on, one of the committee people.
Yeah, one of the people looking at the various statues in the city.
Yeah, and she was a very well-spoken person and in a reasonable voice, and that's where people often say the most unreasonable things, with a reasonable voice. But she talked about there were some on the committee that did not appreciate Lincoln's treatment of Native Americans. And I guess perhaps that might be imperfect from our current perspective, although maybe naive if you think about it, Doctor, from the perspective of a young nation expanding into the wilderness. What do you say, Doctor?
Well, the one incident that I have seen critique is, and I don't know the specifics, but it was a trial, and he reviewed every single one of the capital decisions that were made by our justice system at the time, and he overturned a very high number. I think there were 300.
It's a great story, actually. And that was a point I wanted to make, too, is that At the time, it was the Dakota War was raging in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and there were groups of Indians who were supposed to promise all this food and things, and they weren't getting it, and they were getting mistreated, and that was what was happening, because like you said, we were expanding into this Western frontier. So there was conflict, and there were raids on civilians and things that the people moving in didn't think were obviously good. And there were over 303 Indians who were sentenced to death as who were caught as part of this. And Lincoln went through each individual case and essentially pardoned 265 of them. And meanwhile, we were raging in a civil war that was, he was having to deal with every day developments, every moment developments. And he took the time because this was an egregious thing. And he was quoted as saying at the time that he could not afford to hang men for votes, which people kind of hang on. But it's a smart thing to point out that he was trying to be a progressive at the time. He was trying to be someone who thought that everybody was equal under the law. And the irony in people tearing down statues that they want to put up statues of something else, put up statues themselves, whatever. 100 years from now, they could be looked at as not being left enough or even right enough, depending on where you're putting your flag. Exactly. And that's the part that you're explicitly right, Doctor, that drives me insane, that people don't realize that for the time he was considered a progressive. He was somebody who was really about everybody being equal because the law doesn't know who you are and doesn't care who you are.
And reading every one of those cases in the middle of a war that was not going well for him at the time, taking that time to carefully make measured decisions. I mean, who would you hold up higher esteem at that critical juncture in our country? And where would our country be today had we lost the Civil War, had he not been so focused on managing? And he loses two children. He faced the most horrific personal costs, and yet held himself together, held the country together. I cannot see anybody in our history, our long history, as paying such a personal price and accomplishing so much.
Is he being criticized by the woke for not being accommodating enough to Black Americans? Do they accuse him of racism of some kind or insensitivity?
Well, certainly, again, he was not perfect. He certainly erred at times. He certainly grew. Lincoln, 5 years prior, held different positions. He certainly was an early supporter in having African Americans go back to Liberia, a country founded and almost as an opportunity or excuse to remove the problem. Certainly being critiqued for that, but let's fast forward to another civil rights hero in many people's eyes, W.E.B. Du Bois, who actually moved to Liberia, said the country was not worth his effort. But Du Bois said, quote, "And I love him not because he was perfect, but because he was not, and yet triumphed." And so Lincoln had his detractors at the time. He was not progressive enough in many individual eyes. Frederick Douglass was a critic of his up until when he met him in the White House. And Douglass came to the White House on three occasions. And Douglass's words on Lincoln are outstanding. King's words on Lincoln in reference to the Emancipation Proclamation, Martin Luther King Jr., "It came as a joyous daybreak to end a long night of captivity." And King celebrated and memorialized Lincoln on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial itself. And so was he perfect? No. Did he grow? Certainly. I'm not the same president I was when I came to Lincoln in 2015. I've grown tremendously. And that's what makes Lincoln so unique in my mind. He is truly a hero. And one more quick story. Before the pandemic, we had 13 Chinese visiting students on campus. And they revere Lincoln. In fact, the Gettysburg Address is something as a literary document that they take to memory. And while one of these students was going through our museum, which starts out, you sit in a room behind Lincoln in Ford's Theater, and the picture on the wall morphs into a movie. And you watch Lincoln joyfully talk to his wife, and the play begins, and you hear "Hail to the Chief," and you ultimately see Lincoln shot, and the scene goes dark, and the narrator tells you that this museum will, through the words of those around Lincoln, tell you about his life and quotations and stories. And ultimately, that you go room to room throughout his life, you end up in the White House, and the White House scene with a Gettysburg tent, joint room. And the Gettysburg Address is voiced, the 256 or whatever words. And this Chinese student, first time in the United States, quotes along with the reading of the Gettysburg Address, brought chills to my myself as I heard that story. An amazing respect of the dignity of what he accomplished and the words that held us together.
In the short time we have left, I'd like to ask you, have you followed Dr. Gerlach, the controversy about the statues, to the point of reading about the secrecy and the political chicanery by Lori Lightfoot and her committee over this?
I have not. Running a small college during a pandemic and trying to ensure the safety and health of our students, I've not been able to follow that. I certainly have followed some of the articles and some of the narrative, and it's incredibly concerning to me as an individual who has read 25 or 30 books in and around Lincoln and have spoken to many who absolutely love and revere and study deeply. And it's very concerning that in this state, 35 miles from my campus, Lincoln came up here and rode the circuit and practiced law down at the Postville courthouse. He actually stayed in the barn of my chair of the board, trustee Susan Hoblett. The barn is still standing. To have these types of discussions are, if they bring people to a greater appreciation of what Lincoln accomplished, that may be something, but it is concerning. And I'll send my maintenance up tomorrow to pick up these five statues.
Dr. Gerlach, if people want to find out more about Lincoln College, where can they go?
LincolnCollege.edu, or email me at dgerlach, G-E-R-L-A-C-H, at LincolnCollege.edu. Thank you so much for having me, Jeff and John. Appreciate it tremendously.
And it goes without saying that the college would accept donations for anyone who would want to help defer the cost of transporting our Lincoln statue out of Lincoln Park.
Absolutely. We would, I would love to have folks take another look at Lincoln College and invest in these students' lives that are being transformed. And come visit my museum. It'll cost you a whole $7 and you won't be dissatisfied.
Last question. Do you have a soccer team?
I do. I have a phenomenal soccer team. Right now we're competing in the Chicagoland Conference of the NAIA, and we're undefeated. And I think we're going to make a strong run this spring as the season was pushed from the fall.
I also have to give a shout out to WLNX, Go College Radio.
Absolutely. Radio guy. I have a fantastic radio, TV, new media program here. And we're educating students to follow in your footsteps, Jeff.
Just have them stay out of journalism if they want to have if they want to be able to appreciate the journey of Great Lent, they cannot be journalists because they're
in conflict. Fantastic.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Gerlach, for being here on the Chicago Way. Thank you, sir, very much.
Did I lose you guys? All right, we got you. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. And jeepers, John, I hope I don't end up in woke prison. I will just tell you as an aside, I had a conversation about the Southern bases being renamed, and I posted some articles, and it was a good discussion back and forth. And I was certainly thinking in my mind's eye at the beginning of the discussion that change the names. Bragg was a loser of a general. He wasn't very distinguished. And it quickly tailed off into a nightmare discussion. And eventually I had to stop the conversation because people couldn't reasonably discuss things. So I'm sure this could lead me to woke prison. So,
well, if we do go to woke prison, I promise you that I will share my meager bowl of rice with you. But I fear that Professor Charles Lipson will want some too, and you know, he likes rice. So, thank you very much for being here.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk again. Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, sir.
Invest your money for the future.
Invest in the future.
I've been talking about clean air.
We've got to clean up our air.
I support a ban on soft money.
We will get all of the soft money out of the campaign.
God bless you.
God bless you. Controls the past now. Controls the future. We control the present now. Controls the past. We control the past now. Control the future. We control the present now.
For Dr. David Gerlach, president of Lincoln College in Lincoln, Illinois, who most graciously has offered to take all the Lincoln statues that Lori Lightfoot doesn't want and put them on his campus so that they may be enjoyed in what state may have once been called the land of Lincoln. And for Jeff Carlin, executive producer at WGN Radio, my friend, and truly my friend, and for me, John Cass, husband, father, Orthodox Christian on that long journey through Lent, trying to reconcile the work that I do with what I'm trying to accomplish in my personal spiritual life. And for Abraham Lincoln, one of our greatest presidents, that even he's being discussed in rational voices as possibly being problematic in the state of Illinois, just that alone tells you everything you need to know about the state of where we are. Thanks for joining us again on the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.